Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Slate's parenting podcast for Thursday, May 11th, the Too Old for Read-Alouds edition. I'm Zach Rosen. I make another podcast. It's called The Best Advice Show, and I am the dad to Noah, who is 5.5, and Ami, who is 2.5. We live in Detroit.
I'm Jamila Lemieux. I'm a writer, contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding parenting column, and mom to Naima, who is 10, and we live in Los Angeles.
I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the homeschool and family travel blog, Dutch Dutch Goose. I'm the mom of three littles, Henry, who's 11, Oliver, who's 9, and Teddy, who's 6. We live in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Today on the show, we have a letter writer who fears her read-aloud tradition is over now that her son is a voracious, independent reader. Is there some way for them to continue this tradition? We're also going to touch base on our week in parenting, and if you're sticking around for Slate Plus, we're going to be talking about our favorite teachers growing up. I remember just leaving those classes feeling so excited to like find the thing that I was excited about. Just like loving something to the point of devoting your life to it was so embodied in Dr. Glenn Gass's work. It just stuck with me. Not only will you get to hear that fun segment, but as a Slate Plus member, you'll get a whole bonus segment every week. Plus, you get to listen to all your favorite Slate podcasts ad-free. It's truly the best way to listen and the best way to support the show. You can sign up for Slate Plus now at slate.com/momanddadplus. All right, we're going to jump into triumphs and fails as soon as we get back.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Talking about money can be so hard, especially when the person you're talking to is still learning how to do long division. That's why Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace, is here to help. I'm Bridget, and with my fellow co-host Ryan, we help teach your little ones about complex topics like bankruptcy, climate change, and why there's so much gold at Fort Knox, and so much more. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.
Jamila, what's going on with you?
All right. So this is a preemptive triumph. I'm claiming it now. I'll be able to confirm after next weekend. But Mother's Day is always kind of a challenging thing for me. You know, there have been years where my mother was in town and we've been able to go eat with her. But usually, you know, like single mom on Mother's Day, it's kind of like the responsibility of this day falls on me. And so even though it's supposed to be my day, I have to come up with some sort of activity and pay for it. You know, what can we do that'll make this a nice day besides just going out to eat? And then I hate going out to eat and seeing all the bigger families. You know, it's kind of a bummer. And so this year I found out about a pop-up Barbie museum.
Oh my gosh.
As soon as I saw they had appointments available for Mother's Day, I was like, oh, this is perfect. Naeem and I have matching outfits. We haven't had matching outfits in a while. We have some matching shoes, but we haven't, you know, matching outfits was our thing when she was younger. My mom sent her this cute little short set And I just happened to be in TJ Maxx and I saw one that was very similar in my size, was the only one. And it was my size. I was like, okay, this is a sign. I have to get this. And so we're going to go to World of Barbie on Mother's Day. And I'm really excited about it.
Oh my gosh. Cute. Will you send photos? If you don't post them on Instagram, will you at least send me some?
Yes. We'll have to get pictures.
I need this in my life. I feel like, too, we should give a backstory for anyone that, like, hasn't been listening forever. Like, Barbies are a big part of, like, how you and Naima have played. Yes. And
she's still into them. Not as much as she was, like... She told me, I think she's like, I don't know if I want to play with them with my friends anymore, but I still want to play with them with you.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh.
That's really sweet. Is it safe to say that, like, you are just as excited about this as Naima?
I am. I'm very excited. I was a Barbie girl growing up. I had lots of Barbies. Yeah. So this should be fun for us.
This is a question for both of you. For your ideal Mother's Days, would you rather have your kids plan something that they think you'd like? Or do what you did, Jamila, where you took the reins and made something happen for yourself?
It would be nice if Naima was capable of, like, planning something out, you know. And I'm sure if I really wanted that, I could talk, you know, she could talk to her dad and figure out something. But I kind of like picking out our activities, finding something we'll both like.
Mm-hmm. No, that sounds great.
I largely want to be left alone. Is that an option?
It is. I think we talked about this last year. No, you have to ask for it.
I know. No, so Jeff, we are going to be on an airplane for Mother's Day, which is the worst possible way. I mean, going on a trip is great. But Jeff did book a nice day at the spa for me that I've already gone to. And came home early from work and gave me kind of a whole... a half day off to go do whatever I wanted, plus this massage and facial, which was like so lovely. It was just lovely. It was like he was like, stay and sit in the silent room as long as you want. And that is exactly what I did. And it was great.
That sounds great.
I don't love my children.
Of course. You don't have to clarify that. That's evident every week. Well, that's a triumph in itself.
Yeah.
What else have you got going on?
A part of the other Mother's Day thing I wanted to do was to get family photos done here in Colorado before we go. And so often I'm the one taking the photos of the kids and photos on trips. And I do just like to have little memories of the places we've been. And one of my dear friends in the neighborhood here is a amazing photographer. And so she was able to kind of squeeze me into her otherwise very busy schedule to get family photos at the Air Force Academy. Jeff really wanted a place where we could get some airplanes in the back, but also like mountains and kind of Colorado things. And there's this field at the airfield there where we were able to do that, which was great. With the family photos, like everyone has an opinion on who they want to stand by. And it's like very important, you know, if someone was asked to sit in my lap, then someone else was upset about that. And Henry was like, didn't want to hold hands with dad. Like, we just had all these little issues, but we were getting some nice photos. And the kids started playing around and they were so cute. Like, Henry was boosting Teddy up on his shoulders and like up on a piggyback and they were running around, super cute. And then Teddy he like slips going backwards and puts his hand down into a cactus. And so starts screaming like you've never. Teddy is like so tough. We never hear him screaming. Henry tries to like help the situation. They both end up kind of falling into this cactus.
God. Oh, my God.
We run up. And this is the kind of cactus, not like a saguaro cactus, but like the kind that leave these like hairs in your skin. You have to like take tape and try to pull them out. It was a total nightmare. It was an absolute total nightmare. Jeez. We're not done with photos, so we kind of put him naked in the car because we had gotten him all like whatever. The car has a TV in it. We like turned on the car, turned on a movie. We're just like, sit here till we can get you home. Went back. Jeff and I took a couple, which seems terrible, but like we were there. We were dressed up. It was like, sure, we better take advantage of this. Unbelievably, she just sent me proofs this morning and like the pictures look great. Like, cause we were, this was about halfway through the time we were planning to spend there. So she only had about half the time to take the photos. We got great photos. I thought Teddy would be traumatized, but after he got back home, we like put him in the bath, you know, finished taking this stuff out. He's like laughing about it now. Thank goodness. So
it just requires that tape. Like, what kind of tape?
Well, I used duct. I had duct tape in the car, yeah. But it's like the best way to get it off is like to push the duct tape on to where he's hurting, and then like rip it off, and it just catches all of the needles. Because otherwise, I mean, we had tweezers and we were trying to like pull them out one at a time, but you can't even see them all. They're like small little hairs almost, and they're just all over.
That
I mean,
awful.
I in getting them off of him, I took a couple into the leg, and they were very painful. So I can't even imagine how much pain he must have been in. And there's something too about going from that, like when your kids are like having a lot of fun and they're like, you know, they're screaming and they're having fun and then they instantly get hurt. For some reason, I feel like that is more, they scream more than, you know, it's like from the high, high to the lowest low. Oh, but it felt very like, oh yes, of course, one of my children.
Falls into a cactus.
Yeah. And the photographer Melanie, who is just the sweetest, set when she sent me the pictures to look at, you know, she made the password to her little portal cactus. So I was like, okay, good, we can all we can all like laugh about this now.
I have a twofer. I have like peak pride, peak dad pride, and then I guess shame right after it. This story starts, I suppose, last fall, when I took off one of Noah's training wheels, because I read that if you just use one training wheel on your bicycle, that's a good pathway to, you know, learning how to ride on two wheels. So we were doing that last fall, and then we maybe had a couple trials then of no training wheel at all. Didn't quite work. She wasn't quite ready. That's fine. And then starting in the last couple of weeks, she got determined again to try to ride on two wheels, and we've just been going to the park near our house, and I've been doing like, I feel like it's one of the most uncomfortable parent moves. It's like the running, like you're crouched over holding the back of the seat and running at the same time. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just terribly uncomfortable, but you have to do it. And so little by little, Noah has been figuring it out. And then finally this past week, she got it. She started riding on two wheels, and it was very fun. She was very, very excited. Obviously, this is a very big deal. I was trying to take videos while doing this. There was like the one where she really got it. You can hear her.
I think I'm gonna let you let go now, Dad. This is the moment.
This is the moment. You're riding a bicycle. Yes. Keep going. Yes. This is the moment. It's definitely the moment. Great job. Off to do it again. She's riding down the street without me holding on, so it was very sweet.
Oh.
It just so happened that a kid from her school, his dad was at the park with this kid's older sibling, so it's like an 8-year-old and the dad, and they saw this whole thing. They saw Noah like take her first really long ride, and then the dad says to me, he's like, oh my god, that's so great, like my kid hasn't learned yet. And this kid, Noah knows, is a year older than her. And then I relay that to Noah because she didn't hear him say that. And I'm so not proud of it. But like, I told her this and she and I both just like laughed with like, oh, like, just like this evil, like, we beat him. You know, we learned how to ride before this older boy. And it was like, I couldn't even like stop myself from trying to be like classy about it. Like, you know, everyone learns at their own pace, but we were both just like chuckling like little school kids. And I'm not proud of it, but it felt like a very kind of like primal thing where we were both like, victory.
Yeah.
So I'm ashamed, but it was funny. So don't tell the kid that we were laughing that he doesn't know how to ride a bike yet.
Well, did you tell Noah to not laugh at the kid?
Well, I couldn't tell her that because I was laughing too. You know, but
yeah,
then
you weren't like, hey, when you go to school today,
make sure you don't.
Maybe. Oh, yes. I think after we kind of collected ourselves, I was like, I did say the thing, like, you know, everyone learns on their own time, but it was too late. I think that it was, you know, I can tell her whatever I want. She sees me laughing along with her. That's the lesson. So I'm going to have to do some work on that end.
We've all been there.
Well, on that note, we are going to take another quick break. See you back here for our listener question. All right, let's get into our first listener question. Dear Mom and Dad, read alouds were one of my favorite parts of parenting. My son and I have read countless picture, chapter, and middle grade books together. Recently, my 9.5-year-old has decided he doesn't want to read with me anymore, and I'm feeling super sad about it, even though I'm beyond proud and elated he's become such a voracious, independent reader. Any advice? Will the pendulum swing back again, or is this it? Signed, page-turning parent. What say you, Elizabeth Newcamp?
I completely, like, feel this letter. I love read aloud time. I love it so much that I have, like, centered our whole homeschool around being able to read together. But I will say it does wax and wane with different kids and what they're doing. And I think the big thing I can say is continue to keep some reading together time, even if it's not out loud. So if he wants to read independently and you can sit and read at the same time, I think that that will keep that same feeling. Henry went through a period where he was like too cool for read alouds. But if I read aloud like to the other two while he was like playing Legos or something, he would often kind of find his way over. And as he had books assigned for school, particularly ones that he was not like as into, I would often offer to read aloud a couple chapters to him. So this is something like he has to get done and I'm making it a little easier and still getting to do the read aloud, and really found that that brought us back into that read aloud. You know, like I'm reading his books and then he'd say like, oh, I really like this. And I'd be like, okay, well, great. Well, I would love to read it. Why don't you choose a book that I can read aloud, you know, to you? Sometimes I've mentioned before ways to kind of have that reading time is like poetry tea time. I don't know. My kids still think that's fun. Get a little treat, get a pot of tea, read some poetry together. And we've also done like happy hour reading where we make kind of mocktails and everybody's reading, or maybe I read aloud. Oh, so God. I think just keep that. You can keep that special time while still honoring this idea that he's so excited about reading that he wants to, you know, read some on his own, which is, like you said, very exciting. What do you guys think?
I agree. I think keep the ritual of reading together, you know, keep it as long as you possibly can. I mean, maybe this was something that can carry even into his teenage years, if you're lucky, you know, that every night you all sit together and you read. And maybe he'd be willing to read a few pages to you.
Yeah.
That's cute. That's such a good idea.
Like, it doesn't have to be the whole chapter, you know, maybe it's just the first three pages just to get you all started. So there's a little read aloud time. But yeah, see how he feels about being the reader.
Pairing that with a mocktail happy hour. Holy cow. That sounds so cute and cozy. Those are both great ideas. And I know there's nothing like reading aloud, like it's a singular experience. But if you can think about what might be similar, something that he might be into doing aloud, like maybe he is, I don't know, maybe he's into like comedy or storytelling. Like maybe you could cultivate some spaces in the house where it's like, you know, Monday night, like everyone has like 5 minutes. Jamila, you might appreciate this. You know, everyone has like 5 minutes to like tell me like a funny story about your week, something where there's still, you know, an exchange. You don't want to like force them to come back to read aloud time, but like figure out what your kid is also interested in addition to reading, and see, maybe it's video games. Maybe like, okay, you pivot to just like something in their world where they will allow you to, you know, kind of be in their intimate space with them.
You can also talk about the book.
Yes.
You know, like you can do some reading and then before you wrap up, ask him to summarize what he's read thus far.
Or on that note, I was just thinking, read the same book, like have him pick the book and you guys are both reading the same book. And that might stir some discussion, too. I did want to recommend there's two wonderful resources. One is the Read Aloud Revival. She has a podcast and a blog and she's got lots of fun ideas. I think both Poetry Tea Time and the Happy Hour things are things I've picked up from her or her reading. Lots of great ideas on how to just make reading fun. And there's also Everyday Reading. And I think I've recommended her before because she does those great like book lists that you can post and color like summer reading and reading around Christmas and things like that. But both of them have other ideas too. And they're always posting good books to read aloud. You know, another thing is that I often try to read a book that is above just above Henry's reading level, like that he mm-hmm. might struggle to read and read that aloud, because that also is like he can be into this really good story, but is not something he would necessarily want to tackle on his own.
Well, page-turning parent, thank you for writing in. Do you have something to say about parenting or reading aloud together? We want to hear it. Send your thoughts, advice, or questions to momanddad@slate.com or leave a voicemail at 646-357-9318. We may feature your message on a future episode. And that's our show. Please subscribe to it, leave a rating and a review, and tell your friends. That helps us grow our little community. This episode of Mom and Dad Are Fighting is produced by Rosemary Belson and Maura Curry. Alicia Montgomery is VP of Slate Audio. For Elizabeth Newcamp and Jamila Lemieux, I'm Zach Rosen. Thanks for listening.